2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three. Cougars by 20.
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts,
Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. Home of BYU Sports.
KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back to Cougar Sports Saturday on this post-Thanksgiving show. And someone, myself or Mitch, is going to be enjoying Thanksgiving a lot more after the end of this segment.
The Cougar Sports Saturday Top 5. Mitch and Matt clash in a weekly battle of BYU sports knowledge. The Cougar Sports Saturday Top 5.
Yeah, buddy. Leftovers are ready. Top five brought to you by Economic Partners, Utah's premier business valuation and strategic consulting firm. Need a business valuation? Contact econpartners.com today. They're ran by diehard Cougar fans. So go to econpartners.com. Proud sponsors of the top five here on Cougar Sports Saturday. We bring in producer Dallin Graff. Dallin, what do we got on tap today?
First off, I'd like to start with this. I texted you guys earlier this week a picture of a new flavor of Mountain Dew.
Yes.
I don't know if you've had the chance to try it or any listeners out there. It's the Merry Mashup. I was a little hesitant, but it says cranberry pomegranate flavors, and it was not that bad.
You lost me at 7-Eleven in the text chain. I haven't been to a 7-Eleven in years.
Anti-7-Eleven, or
I'm not anti-7-Eleven. There's no 7-Elevens around me. I'm not gonna go out of my way to find a 7-Eleven.
That's a good point.
To get this Christmas drink. If it's not at Macy's or around the corner, then
it's all about convenience. The convenience store isn't convenient enough. I get it. No, but the mashups are they've been sketchy in the past, but this one was pretty good.
Worthy of a 12-pack kind of good?
I would try it first. I would try the one, see where it goes. But, we like the Mountain Dew on here. I thought I'd throw that out to the listeners as well. Let us know if you've tried it. Today, for the top five, I want to talk about BYU running backs. Ooh. And I feel like there is a player on this team who doesn't get enough credit for the performance that he has put up this season, and that is running back Tyler Allgeier. I mean, he has just been incredible. And we've talked about the lack of a number one guy at BYU, these running backs, this hope that they would have, this bell cow sort of guy. You hoped it was Tyson last year. He gets injured, and Tyler Allgeier through nine games has been incredible. 851 rushing yards, 11 touchdowns. He's averaging 7.2 yards per attempt. So just to give you some context nationally, yards per attempt, that's second among rushers with 100-plus carries, only behind Khalil Herbert from Virginia Tech. He's 29th in attempts, 10th in rushing yards, and tied for 8th in rushing touchdowns. I mean, this guy has been legit, and he's putting up a season that I would argue rivals some of the best seasons we've seen from BYU running backs. And you could take the amount of games, the context, but you look at what he's doing with the carries he's getting. He's been incredible. So the list today, guys, the best seasons by a BYU running back.
According to you, right? This isn't
according to me.
Okay.
Just wanted
to make sure this wasn't a record book kind of top five, because we've had those.
Sure. And here's what we're looking at. I focused primarily on rushing stats. I didn't incorporate receiving stats into this, just based on the rushes by these guys. I will also give you a slight hint here, which is that a player doesn't end up twice on this list.
Okay.
So there'll be five different players on here, because obviously there's guys multiple good seasons. Decided to narrow it to five different players.
Do we need to get the year?
Yes, you have to get the year correct. Okay. That is what matters. Name, year. Mitch started last week, which means we go with Matt here to begin. And where would you like to start?
2016, Jamal Williams.
There we go. Pretty easy there, right? 1,375 rushing yards and 12 touchdowns for the swag daddy, Jamal Williams. Incredible.
And you know what's interesting is he has, like, I think he's worked his way into a new deal, whether it's with Green Bay or someone else. I think that he's proven to be very valuable in Green Bay. And so there was a moment, Mitch, where I felt like, the Jamal run might be coming to an end. But now I feel like Jamal is here to stay, whether it's in Green Bay or somewhere else. He's going to be in the league a little while longer.
I agree. And how awesome is it that the personality of Jamal Williams hasn't been bogged down by the professionalism and the business approach of the NFL? Like, he's still, you know, Jamal Williams, fun-loving guy. He'd probably go to classic skating if COVID wasn't shutting everything down. He would still be doing it up at classic skating. Love Jamal Williams. That's a great pick.
I mean, what would the Packers put on their social media feed if Jamal Williams wasn't allowed to be Jamal Williams? They would have no content.
That guy needs a contract extension for social media likes just alone. Jeez, he's content gold.
I love it. All right, Mitch, out to you. Where's your guess?
I'm going to go with another easy one. Luke Staley, 2001 Doak Walker winner.
Yeah, yep. Doak Walker winner is probably enough qualifications, but exactly. Just to give context on these statistics here, I mean, we're talking about 1,500 rushing yards, 24 touchdowns, and he averaged 8 yards per attempt. To put that into context, Jamal Williams, 1,300 rushing yards, that was 5.88 yards per attempt. And again, Tyler Algier, 7.2 so far this year.
Wow.
And what's amazing, too, is Staley, if memory serves me right, he only played, because that team played in 2001, they played 14 games. He played in only 11.
Right.
And he put up those numbers in 11 games.
Wow.
And was just incredible. I mean, and he would be a guy, too, to kind of start slow, and then he would just pop some big ones. Staley, and the way Croton used him with Brandon Dolman, that was a thing of beauty. I've always kind of stood by, like, if there's a big game, and like, if I'm picking one running back for a big game, Luke Staley was just automatic. But BYU's had some great running backs. I mean, we'll get to it, obviously.
Staley
was incredible.
He's one of the few, too. And I don't mean this as a disrespect, but he's one of the few that could take it to the house. We've had a lot of great running backs that didn't have that last gear to separate from the defense. Staley had that, and that's what made him so exciting, was he could put in that fifth gear, whatever gear you want to call it, gone to the house.
And one of these days, we'll have to have a top five of the greatest calves in BYU football history. Luke Staley's calves stand apart from the rest.
Don't count out Taysom Hill, though. I remember
that's true.
I was watching game last week, and I was like, geez, this guy's calves.
I don't know if I'm qualified enough to create a top five of the best calves, but I could try to work on that. All right, Matt, to you, what's your next guess?
Quick story time before I get to my guest. I was in the Missionary Training Center, torturous, because I'm a huge football fan, and there's noises down the street at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. This is back in 2007. Loud noises. I'm depressed. I'm sad. And I'm like, what is going on here? Lo and behold, it was Harvey Unga in 2007. It's Harvey on the list.
There we go. Well, good for depressed little Matt Biamonte back then. He gets an entry here on the top five correct. Yeah, Harvey Unga, 2007. You could argue 2009, another good season as well. But I took that first full season for him. 1,227 rushing yards, 13 touchdowns for Harvey Unga that year.
Man, he was I missed almost all of his career, so I really should just leave this to you, Mitch. But man, what a dual threat out of the backfield, catching and running the football. He was phenomenal.
Yeah, Unga was incredible. And I remember, too, that fall camp in 2007, all the talk was, you know, Fui Vakapuna is going to be the starting running back, but it was Unga who really separated himself from the pack. And then that debut against Arizona, he nailed it down that he was the number one running back for BYU. He was awesome for BYU, and I don't think he gets. He kind of reminds me a lot of Tyler Algier. You know, a little bit how it's like you think he's just going to be this inside runner, but he can hit the corner and turn on this speed that was just like unexpected. And that's why I've kind of reminded myself a lot of seeing Tyler Allgeier this year, because I thought Allgeier was just kind of an inside runner, a physical guy who can move the sticks. But no, he can be a big play guy as well. And Ungo did a fantastic job and did it over multiple seasons for BYU.
I'd also like to quickly apologize. I think I was the one who said I wish he stayed at linebacker before the season began. Big whiff by me, as he's proven to
Allgeier.
Be. Yeah, he's proven to be. I mean, he was great as a linebacker, but whoa, has he just been phenomenal as a running back.
Yeah, it's crazy when you watch the broadcast and they're like, this guy was playing linebacker last year, and then he breaks off an 86-yard touchdown. You're like, that guy was a linebacker. Crazy. All right, Mitch, to you. You're down 2-1. What do we got?
I'm trying to think here. Let's go with Curtis Brown, 2006.
I'm glad you missed this one, because Curtis Brown is on the list. And I was debating which year it was. Curtis Brown, 2005. Woo! Let's go! Sorry, Mitch.
The subtleties are key here. And 2005... Yeah, I think that's the one. Debated a little bit here, but 1,123 rushing yards, 14 touchdowns for Curtis Brown in 12 games in 2005.
Was it he was such a weapon out of the backfield in 2006 in the pass game? Was that where were you thinking?
Well, yeah, and again, as I mentioned earlier, I based this primarily dominantly on the rushing stats. I didn't necessarily incorporate, you know, the receiving stats and the rushing stats into this. So because of that, 2005 ends up on the list, and I'm sorry, Mitch, but that means Matt's wrapped this thing up.
Wow. That's hey, give me the stat line on Brown in 05 and 06, because what's the difference? I mean, 2006, they were 11-2, one of the best offenses in college football. 2005 was a 6-5 team that lost to San Diego State 31-10. They lost to Boston College 20-3.
You're making a big mistake. You got to pay close attention to the beginning of the segment. This was all about rushing yards, Mitch. This had nothing to do with the greatness of the team, all that stuff.
I know, but like, what's the difference here? Like, what are we talking about? Like, 500 yards? Because I feel like it was all pretty much equal. Like, it was like he was just a model of consistency.
It's pretty close. Listen, it's pretty close. We're looking at these stats, about 100 yards difference. He had more yards per attempt in 2005, 7 more touchdowns, 14 on the ground that year, only 7 on the ground in 2006.
There you go. That's
and again,
sizable.
560 receptions, 566 yards through the air in 2006 was a huge, you know, addition to his game, but ultimately on the ground. I'm sorry, Mitch. 2005.
I think you got to give the edge those six.
Hey, someone got snubbed by Steve Sarkisian. I don't want to hear anything from you, Mitch.
I'm going to get a recount.
Man. It's rigged. All right. So Matt's got this 3-1. Anyone got a guess on that final?
I've got a guess, but I don't feel good about it.
Let's go with Taysom Hill, 2013.
He's not a running back. Oh, my God.
Hey, didn't he have like 1,000 yards that year?
He had a great rushing year, but he was a quarterback.
Everyone on Twitter says he's a running back. I'm like, I'm kidding.
98, Ronnie Jenkins?
Ronnie Jenkins, yeah, that was close. That was probably number 6-7. That was kind of right at the edge there. Mitch,
hey,
any other guesses?
Let's go with the Phantom, Eldon Fortuy.
Nope.
Fui Vakapuna, 2004.
How about this? Let's go with Jamal Willis, 1994.
Jamal Willis, 95.
How about let's go with Brian McKenzie, 1996.
It's Jamal Willis, 93. Is that it? 92?
How about Pete Van Valkenburg?
There we go. What year? Come on.
Hold on. I think it was, gosh, it was early in the Lavelle days.
72.
What year?
That was, hey,
okay,
got the
Lavelle's
name.
First year.
Got it. Yeah.
Yeah, Van Valkenburg.
Yeah, and Van Valkenburg, by the way, 1,386 yards and 12 touchdowns in 1972. Y'all just kind of forgot about him.
Yeah,
I forgot. It's that I didn't know. I'm not great in the 70s with my BYU
stats. Lavelle's first year at 72. That's right. Now it brings up, I remember this now. They were number one in rushing yards that year, the first year of Lavelle's tenure nationally. And it's kind of crazy because obviously BYU became the passing team. But year one with Lavelle, it was a ground attack with Pete Van Valkenburg. I think he went to the Packers and whatnot. But all right, cool. Yeah. I thought it was 73, but 72 apparently. Nice
it's close. It was close. But Matt with the win today, which means did you get a little time here, 30 seconds? What do you want to plug? What do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about BYU basketball. And specifically, Yoeli Childs and Jake Toulson getting an opportunity in the NBA. It's a long road. It's a very long road for those guys. But I think this speaks volumes of the future of the program. That these, because Yoeli Childs, if you remember, I don't think he would have had an NBA chance after his junior year. He comes back with Coach Pope, works on his game, improves his three-point shooting. And Washington is a good spot because they're not a good team. And there's some opportunities to make a roster there. And Jake Toulson is a great shooter. It's going to be hard in Utah, but when you give Donovan Mitchell the Supermax, it's going to be a little harder to fill out spots 13, 14, 15, and Rudy's making a lot of money. So opportunities for both guys, and I think it speaks well to the future of the BYU basketball program. All right, Dallin, good stuff. Thank you. Thank you, Mitch. I'll take the Thanksgiving turkey back on my side, and next week we'll just have to keep it going. And shout out to Sam Farnsworth. I got it, baby. I'm back. All right, got to take a break here. Cougar Sports Saturday back after this.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.